back to the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO on this Wednesday afternoon. It is hump day. And for me, as I said, it was mall walking day, but we'll get to more of that later. Maybe I'll have to take phone calls on that later. I'm starting to get some people texting in my defense, saying that, no, you're fine. If that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do to get exercise, to go walk in the mall. Maybe I need to be better organized. That might be a better thing that I can do. United States Senator Heidi Heitkamp is in Washington, D.C. She was at the State of the Union address last night. She's also, I know, excited about the passage of the Farm Bill coming through the House earlier today, and we asked her to be on the Mike McFeely Show to respond to all of that and more. Senator Heitkamp, happy Wednesday to you. How are you?
Happy Wednesday to you. Did I hear you're a mall walker?
Yes. Yes, you did.
You know, you could start a trend.
Start a trend of what?
Hip guys walk in the mall.
What guys?
Hip guys.
Hip?
You know,
well,
come on.
As soon as you know one, please let me know, because there isn't one sitting in this
room
back here.
As soon as I know any hip guy who walks the mall.
I know that none of your brothers are, come on.
Yeah, that would be people with bad knees and bad hips gimping the wall.
That's kind of where I'm getting to. We don't need to go through all my ailments or anything else. Hey, before we get to the Farm Bill passage, I do want to get your thoughts on the State of the Union address last night. I thought that the president was kind of broad, you know, not specific, and oftentimes that happens in State of the Union addresses. But I also think that he had very reachable goals when it came to some of the things that he wanted to accomplish.
The way I've been describing it, and I thought that when I was listening, that this wasn't a speech intended for us. It was a speech intended for the people. For the people who have been struggling with long-term unemployment, people who have been struggling even though they're working two jobs, trying to make ends meet, for the kids who are worried that they're not saving for their retirement. And so I think he was trying to address some of the very legitimate middle-class concerns and, challenging Congress to do things that they have to do, and I think willing to do some of the things on his own. So I thought the one part of the speech that I kind of took issue with was the energy part. And, you know, that's no surprise there. I thought he started out well when he talked about all of the above and about, you know, kind of a comprehensive plan. And then he kind of fell off the rails when he started talking about what would be included in it. And all I heard was really renewables and not a place for fossil fuels, and even used the term bridge. That natural gas would be a bridge source of energy. And so I think those are all code for, you know, we say all of the above, but don't really mean it.
Do you think that by saying that he's just going to do things on his own as far as he can do them, is that the president passing the buck, so to speak? Because, and does he need to take more responsibility when it comes to not getting things done with Congress?
Well, I think so. But I also think, you know, that's been kind of it was in the media lead up to the speech. But my point is, he can't do anything on his own that's unconstitutional. I mean, you know, he shouldn't push the envelope as it relates to constitutionality of these efforts. These policies are always stronger and more sustainable if they're bipartisan. And I'll say that over and over again. We're better off if we all get in a room. You know, take a look at the Farm Bill. Totally bipartisan piece of legislation. Take a look at where I think today or tomorrow we're going to pass the hold on the increase in flood insurance. Totally bipartisan. And so when we're able to do things in a bipartisan way, we really are, I think, have more lasting policies and not a big fight. And we actually move the country forward.
Are things loosening up and warming up a little bit when it comes to these things? Because by passing the Farm Bill, it is completely bipartisan. And it took a long time. It took way too long, but it did take both sides to get it done, and it did pass through the House today. So is this a sign that things are loosening up, or is it just in this one specific case that's loosening up?
This I would tell you, and I'm sure there will be historians or other people who disagree, but I think that Congress got such a huge black eye during the shutdown. We came out of the shutdown with the idea that we better start doing the things that we can do. And certainly, given the Farm Bill has always been a bipartisan, the differences in the Farm Bill traditionally have been regional. I mean, they're not partisan differences. And so I think all of a sudden people realize that if we were going to have any credibility, we needed to actually get something done. And Senator Dorgan recently was on a national news program, and he said, you know, the United States Congress, when they asked him why people were retiring, he said, the United States Congress is a place that if you're nourished by achievement, you'll starve to death in the Congress. And, you know, I think everybody kind of has that, you know, kind of let's not be those guys that get nothing done. So,
Senator Heidi Heitkamp, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show, what do you think about the farm bill? I mean, I from everything I've read and everything I've been able to hear already, you like it. You like some of the things in there. It's probably not exactly everything you want. But again, that's the sign of a compromise, that you don't get everything you want, but you get some things you want.
Well, I mean, obviously the big push for us is making sure that we have a crop insurance program that actually works, and a crop insurance program that helps young farmers get involved. And so, they were able to raise the AGI cap on crop insurance to $900,000. And albeit we would like no cap, and that may sound kind of odd coming from me, but we want this program to be stable and sustainable and taking good, you know, risk players, people who can afford that kind of, to take on a little more risk out of the pool, may not be the best for crop insurance. We've always been concerned, Mike, about about Title I, the commodities title, that we not create incentives to plant to the program. And that really kind of held us up, because with some of the southern crops, we have a lot of people who now are getting rid of the direct payments, and they're looking for ways that they're going to replace those. But we wanted to make sure that they have to look at the markets and plant to the markets and not to the program. I think there's some protections there. It's obviously a compromise and not perfect. But the things that I like to talk about that people don't is the energy title funded, enhancements in rural development, which is so critical to rural North Dakota, meeting the needs, especially out west, taking a look at import enhancements and research, and then obviously nutrition. We held the line on nutrition and did some reforms that needed to happen without making, you know, throwing poor families off the system. So I think overall people will be pleased by the farm bill.
Something that popped out to me was the situation with Devil's Lake, and the farm bill for the first time in 2014 authorizes a buyout program for flooded Devil's Lake farmers. Can you explain how that works and how that's going to give some relief to some of those farmers up in Devil's Lake who've had their crop land underwater now for more than 20 years in some cases?
Right. You know, basically what we're looking at is a program that Kent Conran fought for in the original Farm Bill. It was taking a look at what can we do for those farmers who whose land is under at least, I think it's 6 feet of water. And we were able to basically get a $25 million annual authorization, but we need to appropriate. And that'll be a challenge, I think, in these tough times. So no one should be thinking that the checks are in the mail. It's a good first step in providing this relief, but it's not appropriated yet.
It's somebody texted and asked me to ask you about propane prices and whether there's anything that Congress or you, specifically Heidi Heitkamp, can do about propane prices that are going through the roof right now for everybody.
Well, I think we've got a short-term supply problem, but that tells us that as we go into more and more cold winters, we need to have greater supply. Now, in North Dakota, ironically, most people are coming to North Dakota to pick up propane, so it's not a shortage in North Dakota, but obviously it's a commodity that is basically purchased around the country. A lot of it's transportable and therefore fungible, and so we have a nationwide market. So our price goes up when the rest of the country goes up. But the problem that we have in North Dakota is the price, because right now with the price so high, the money that has been given or that is granted to low-income families to help them pay their fuel bill is inadequate, and a lot of those people are running out of LIHEAP money, what we call LIHEAP, and very concerned, especially on the reservations, with people being cold this winter. And so we've been talking to tribal officials and hopefully spend some time talking to the governor about how we can get some additional relief. But, you know, these things always happen in these kind of catastrophic nationwide kind of demand areas. And the run-up on natural gas prices I put with propane, because natural gas prices have gone up tremendously as well. Whether that's sustainable given the kind of market that we have or the kind of supply that we have of natural gas, we'll wait and see. But we have enough propane, domestically produced propane, that number, that dollar shouldn't be where it's at. And hopefully we'll challenge some of these producers to make sure that they have a more steady supply in cold snaps like what we're experiencing across the country.
One more question. We'll let you get back to work, Senator Heitkamp. But were you okay with the cuts to the SNAP program in the Farm Bill? I think the final number was at $8.7 billion over 10 years out of in the 2014 Farm Bill. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I am. Some of this has been kind of the trickery of linking SNAP benefits to low-income heating assistance, mm-hmm. or LIHEAP, the program that we just talked about. And for the average family, when you look across the board, these are families that aren't the poorest of the poor. They're people who just barely meet minimum requirements for SNAP, and they're going to see a reduction. And what the states had done is they had qualified them for LIHEAP programs to also get them on the federally funded SNAP program. And this kind of is a little loophole that we're closing. And so I'm not really worried that it's going to lead to hungry children. I obviously have been very critical of the House provision earlier, where the cuts were just much, much, much more draconian. And I think we were able to reach a compromise that protects the federal fisc, but also make sure that children have food.
Thank you, Senator Heitkamp. Good as always to talk to you.
Thank you.
Yep, you bet, Heidi.
Bye,
thank you. You bet. Heidi Heitkamp, United States Senator from the great state of North Dakota. If you want